Well, grace you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It's Transfiguration Sunday, as you probably figured out, and our readings for this weekend are all about being with God on the mountain. Our Old Testament reading is about it from Exodus, our Gospel reading from Matthew. Both of them have God on the mountain with his people. So in the New Testament, we've got Peter and James and John who are taken onto the mountain with Jesus. And the three of them have this experience that they will never, ever forget. They see Jesus in his glory that day. They get a glimpse. They see Elijah and Moses speaking with their Lord. They hear the voice of God that is booming in their ears, and they fall down terrified. And then they feel the touch of Jesus. Rise. Have no fear. It's no surprise, really, that Peter doesn't want to go anywhere. It's no surprise that he doesn't want to leave. He's ready to stay right there, set up some houses, not go anywhere, to stay where it's beautiful and where it's inspiring. You've been there before. I know you have. You've found yourself on the mountain with God. I know you've been there, or you wouldn't be here this morning. You've been inspired by your faith. You've been convicted by a sermon. You've been changed by something that God has spoken to you or has done to you. And in an important way, when you come up today to take communion, you'll be approaching the presence of God himself. If you can't think back on a time right now, well, think forward to something when you'll be on the mountain with God today. You may feel different things when you're up here. You know, it's kind of interesting to be the guy that hands out communion because I see a lot of different things on a lot of different people's faces. Sometimes it's joy, and sometimes it's tears. Sometimes I have a pretty good idea where those emotions are coming from, and sometimes I have no idea at all. Sometimes what's on people's faces is, I'm just trying to keep my kids together. Sometimes it's nothing at all. But here's the thing. Regardless of what you feel when you're up here, you are on the mountain with God this morning. I mean, that's what this place is. That's what we do at church. That's why we call this place Zion. Because it's the place where God's presence dwells, and it's the place where we meet it. You are on the mountain with God this morning. And you can't stay here. You gotta go. Let me tell you what Peter went down to when he went down the mountain after Transfiguration Day. He came down immediately to a bunch of Jesus' disciples who had failed to cast out a demon, and crowds that were absolutely fed up with those guys. He came down to a bunch of religious leaders who were more concerned with the temple tax than they were with the coming of the Son of God. And in the days to come, the days after he came down from the mountain of Transfiguration, in those days, he came down to bickering between the disciples about which one of them was the greatest. And you know what happens to Peter? Peter gets sucked in. He gets sucked into all of this stuff because the next time he talks to Jesus, you know what he says? I mean, you'd think if he's come down from this mountain and he's seen all this stuff, this normal everyday stuff, he'd say something like, Lord, why are you letting all this stuff happen? I mean, why not restore the kingdom right now or something like that, right? Or at least, Jesus, I'm struggling. You know, can you give me something like you gave me up on the mountain to help me remember who you are? But he doesn't say anything like that. Nothing like that at all. You know what he says? He comes up to Jesus while Jesus is talking to the two fighting disciples, and he says, Lord, how many times do I have to forgive my brother when he sins against me? Why? Because he got sucked into the bickering. Because he's part of the fighting. Because he's part of the problem. And all too often, we find ourselves there with Peter, don't we? We find ourselves sucked back into our own habits and our own grudges and our own old rivalries and our old patterns and our old problems. We find ourselves far from the inspiration that God has stirred up in our hearts, far from the meal that we've had with God on the mountain, far from the time that we've seen Jesus. Have you been there? I have. All the time. All the time. This is the place where your faith feels stagnant. This is the place where you feel like you got to put faith on the back burner because you got a million other things that are getting in the way. This is the place where old habits and old problems and grudges and rivalries and patterns seem to be so important that you can't get past them to see what God is doing in the world and in your own life. It's not a fun place to be. But Peter's journey doesn't stop there. It actually gets even worse because it leads him all the way to Gethsemane, all the way to a promise that he makes to Jesus that he'll be with him to the end. It leads him to the pressure of interrogation and to the point of denying Jesus altogether three times. His journey down the mountain leads him to a crow of a rooster and the conviction that comes with it. It leads him to the bitter tears of his own failure. His journey down the mountain leads him to his own weakness, and it must have felt at that point, I think, like he was outside the presence of God altogether. Like he'd come an awfully long way from the mountain of transfiguration, and there was no way back up because he got a good look inside of his heart, and what he saw was the kind of thing that does not belong in the presence of a holy God. And I'll tell you something, the Bible tells us that if you and I look into our hearts, you and I will find the same thing. We will find the same old patterns and grudges and problems. We will find the same weakness, and we will find the same failure, and we will find the same kinds of things that do not belong in the presence of a holy God. I mean, look deep. They're there. You'll see them. If you don't see them yet, you're not looking deep enough. And once you see them, once you become aware of those things, once you become aware of your sinful nature, there is no way back, it seems. There's no way back. And all you can do is fall down on your face, terrified. And when you do, you know what Jesus says? He says, "Rise and have no fear. Because this place of brokenness and failure and sin, this is where Jesus dies. Far from the mountain of transfiguration, far from the presence of God, far from the love of the Father. My God, why have you forsaken me?" See, Jesus went down the mountain and he found the same stuff that Peter did, the same thing that you do. He found your weakness and your failure. All those things that make you and I not belong in the presence of a holy God. He found those things, and he took them on himself, and he died for them. And you know why? To give you a way back. To pull you back. He died outside the presence of God so that that was not a place that you would ever, ever have to be. He died so that as we walk down our mountains, as we turn our backs to the presence of God, as we get sucked back into the same old patterns and problems and grudges, when we find things in our heart that do not belong in the presence of a holy God, when we find our own darkness and our own sin and we collapse, he died so that he could touch you gently on the shoulder and say, "Rise and have no fear." And he's doing that for you right now. He's touching you on the shoulder with the gospel. He is reminding you of the forgiveness that he won for you. The forgiveness that's waiting for you. It's way back on the mountain. He's bringing you back into the presence of God. See, the way back is through the cross. And there was a way back for Peter too, by the way. See, the next time that after Gethsemane, after the crucifixion, the next time that Peter sees Jesus, it's on another mountain. This one's in Galilee. And I'm not sure what the experience was like. The Bible doesn't say very much about it. I don't think Moses was there, and I don't think Elijah was there. But it must have been an amazing thing for Peter to see his crucified Lord in the flesh. In fact, after the darkness that Peter found in his own heart, it must have been an amazing thing for him that Jesus wanted to see him at all. But he called him. He called him to be there. He called him to the mountain. He called him back into the presence of God, just as he called you back here today. Back into the presence of God. Sinners though we are, he calls us back to hear his word and to receive his gifts. But here's the thing, Peter couldn't stay this time either. He couldn't stay on this mountain either, and neither can you. But this time when he walks down the mountain in Galilee, it's different. This time when he walks down the mountain in Galilee, he does it because he's sent. It's because Jesus called him there. Jesus gathered his disciples into his presence to send them down the mountain into the weakness and into the frailty and into the failures to bring the healing of the gospel to the world. You know what Peter says that time, or what Jesus says to Peter that time up on the mountain? He says, go. And not go because I don't want to see you, or go because I don't want to love you, or go because you're too evil, but go because you've got a job to do. Go because you are mine and you are part of my kingdom and you got work to do. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to do everything that I've commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the very end of the age. When you walk down the mountain today, when you go out those doors this morning, you don't go out with shame. You don't go out with fear. You don't go out with darkness dwelling in your heart. You go out with forgiveness. And you go out with two things. You leave church this morning with purpose and with presence. Because the words that Jesus spoke to Peter on that mountain, he speaks to you too. He spoke them to the entire church. You too are called into his kingdom. You too are called to go and make disciples. You too are asked to show forth what Jesus has done in your life through your actions and through your words. That's purpose. You too are promised also that he will be with you always to the very end of the age, on the mountains and in the valleys, when you find yourself inspired and when you find yourself entrapped by the same old things that you always fall back into. He will be with you when you feel blessed and when you feel broken. And you may not feel his touch on your shoulder at first. In fact, it might take a long time. But when you are broken and when you fall down on your face every single time, he will say, rise and have no fear. Amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding guard our hearts and our minds, keeping them steadfast in Christ Jesus. Amen.